those who say that beneath your feet is a shadow world, and that shadow world is inhabited by demons that are preparing for the great deception that's coming on this earth. It is said that JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was told about this shadow world, and that he in turn was going to make it public to the world, that he would no longer allow the cover-up to continue. Do you know what happened to him? They blew his head off. The mass of humanity are so deluded and so full of the spirit of this world and the spirit of hell that they're ready to receive anything.
Welcome, and thank you for joining me. I am your host, Billy Ray Parrish, for God's Gospel Radio Ministry. This is a special The Seed of a Nation broadcast. Boom is still sick, so pray for him. And because we have not been on here in a week or so, I wanted to do this all-important program. The Seed of a Nation is a staple here at God's Gospel Radio Ministry, as we are about exposing the deception in our country. And one of the primary sources for deception in our country today is the media. Yes, it is true that we at God's Gospel Radio Ministry are a part of the media, but we get our values and belief system from the Bible rather than a specific political party. We must remember that God is not a Democrat or Republican. Christ was not a politician while he was on earth, but he did have standoffs and run-ins with big government. But his book is full of rules and laws that reveal what he believes in and stands for. When we look at what has happened over the last few years, it's easy to understand that the press is against President Trump. We are not a political program or a political network, and we do not favor one political party over another. Truth be told, both sides are just as bad as the other, but one side has totally gone off the deep end. With that said, majority of the press is against the president, and this has been revealed in their reporting. But there have also been different projects released by different groups and individuals who are able to obtain proof of media members and head of media companies admitting their bias against the president, conservative politicians, conservative pundits, and certain types of voters like Republican and Christian voters. By reading God's word, we find that God does not like evil intentions, he does not like evil speakings, he does not like malice, and he does not like hypocrisy. 1 Peter 1 and 2 tells us, "Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all speakings." The Bible tells us that we know people by their fruit or the things that they do. And we know that those who deceive people, especially those who purposely deceive people, do not know God. Jeremiah 9 and 6 specifically tells us that thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. This reminds me of the current environment that we find much of the media in. Freedom of the press is guaranteed by the Constitution and is protected by the First Amendment. A free press cannot be underestimated as the public is informed about what is going on, whether it's in our community, city, town, state, country, and our world. Speaking on the freedom of the press, Thomas Jefferson once remarked that our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. Jefferson perfectly summed up why we need a free press. And there are very few people in the United States who will dispute the importance of a free press. I know nobody who says that we don't need a free press. We can talk all day about its importance. But the reason for this show is to reveal how the press uses emotion and misinformation to control the narrative. When I say misinformation, for the most part, I mean lies. What the media does is a clever game of twisting information and stories to make something seem true. They have an agenda, so they take the information and twist it to fit their agenda. But regardless of how often you tell a lie, it's still a lie. Sadly, this is nothing new and has been going on since the creation of man. Satan used lies and good words to get Adam and Eve to what he desired of them. God said not to do this. Satan came at them and told them if they did that, then they would be as gods. But guess what? We know the truth of this. When we dig a little deeper into history, we come across Joseph Goebbels, who was Adolf Hitler's minister of propaganda. While he may not have invented this game, he did perfect it. He knew how to take advantage of the game, as he understood and knew the psychology of the human mind. While most people are good and mean no harm, and I truly believe this, many are able to be taken advantage of by simply lying to them. This is how Hitler was able to accomplish so much. There was some truth splashed in, of course, and this is how Satan does work, as he has to use some truth in what he does. But everything that Satan touches, he destroys. Nazi Germany is a perfect example of the lies and destructions of believing such lies. Let's look at the words of Joseph Goebbels to understand his mind. He commented that a lie told once remains a lie, but a lie told a thousand times becomes the truth. He also said if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. And that's what we're seeing right now with much of the press. They're telling a lot of big lies, hoping that they become truth, or at least accepted as truth. And they're telling a lot of lies, little lies, thousands of times, hoping that people accept them as truth. Goebbels also said if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Again, we are told that those who work in deception do not know God, but God has a lot more to say about deception and lying. Among others include, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Proverbs 19:9. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs 12:22. And just a few verses after this, we see the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 12:19. So I'm sure someone out there is asking, why does this matter? Why are they still listening? Why is it important to have a fair and honest media? When I was in college, I wanted to be a journalist, particularly a sports and political journalist. This is why I took business communication, but somewhere along the way, things changed. When you're a journalist, though, objectivity is supposed to be key. This is foundation for a journalist, any journalist, because it allows the audience to make up their mind about the story. I remember not long ago, Fox used to have the slogan, fair and balanced, but they also had the motto, we report, you decide. As a journalist, this is what it's about. Unfortunately, we do not see much of this today as they tell you what to think. At least a majority of the journalists do. A good journalist or reporter is all about this story. This is their life, but they must have a source or sources for the story. They cannot make things up out of thin air and should be able to provide evidence for their work. Unfortunately for the audience, but thankfully for me, at least concerning this story, there are many examples that I can use to illustrate the deception from the media. Since we are in a political year, we should look over the last few years and how the media has falsely spun stories. It had nothing to do with not having the right information, but everything to do with wanting the audience to believe a lie. Over the last few years, the media was fascinated with President Trump and Russia, so let's start there. There are many places to start, but let's start with impeachment. This was the first attempt to remove President Trump, and it began way before he took office in 2017. The night that he won the election, this was being cooked up. Seeing the momentum that was behind Trump and understanding that it was much more than just a rich guy running for president, the New York Daily News posted on March 2nd, 2016, impeach Trump, it's not too early to start. Shortly after, Politico joined in by running an op-ed piece asking, could Trump be impeached shortly after he takes office? Remember, he hadn't won yet. Whoopi Goldberg said the day after the election that it was time to begin impeachment. The Washington Post ran an article 19 minutes after Trump was inaugurated as president about impeachment, and in February of 2017, the Impeach Trump Leadership Pact was born. Maybe I'm missing something, but if the call for impeachment was not about partisan politics or getting rid of a president before he took down the deep state, then why was it being called for before Trump won the presidency and just moments after? This sounds like something that you do if you have something to hide. The House voted to impeach Trump on two charges, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The reason given was a phone call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, where it was alleged that during the call, President Trump threatened to withhold money if an investigation into Hunter Biden did not take place. The call occurred on July 25, 2019, but again, this turned out to be false. Not the phone call, but the allegations. How do we know this? For one, President Zelensky stated that he was never threatened, no blackmail ever occurred, no funds were ever withheld from Ukraine as they received all the allocated money, and no investigation of Hunter Biden ever took place by any government. And since, President Zelensky has called the impeachment a TV soap opera. We know how impeachment ended. He was acquitted. Almost everyone saw this coming, and if they didn't, it was obvious they should. If no crime is committed, you must acquit, right? Well, unfortunately, when crimes are committed, the guilty are sometimes acquitted. But I digress on this. As stated earlier, the media was fascinated with Trump and Russia, and they spent so many hours discussing this issue while bypassing real news. Before we dug into this, I thought it was appropriate that impeachment was discussed first because this was the first act they used to try to remove President Trump. The media was adamant from day one that President Trump had something to do with Russia. An investigation was launched that took nearly 3 years and between $25 and $40 million to complete. Different sources have a different price tag, so let's say between $25 and $40 million. When it was time to actually discuss the situation, Robert Mueller did not have a clue about what was inside his own report. It was clear that he did not write it, and it makes you wonder if he even read it. Rod Rosenstein admitted there was no evidence of Trump-Russian collusion, and Andrew McCarthy asked, how long had Robert Mueller known there was no evidence? Finding a connection between Trump and Russia has not happened, and it will not happen because there was no connection whatsoever. The Clinton campaign, along with Fusion GPS, a so-called political opposition research firm, wanted to dig up anything they could on then-candidate Trump, but it did not do him any good. Because we only have a short amount of time for this program, we will not go into full details about this incident. But if there is no evidence, how did the investigation get started? After all, there was an investigation, so it had to be based on something, right? True. It was based on something, and that was the Steele dossier. This dossier was held by many in the media to be the Holy Grail. Day in and day out, the dossier was talked about as the piece that was going to bring down President Trump and reveal his connections with Russia. This began in 2016. Digging into Trump's past would not pay off as they expected, as Trump would win the election, but former British agent Christopher Steele was hired. Hence the name Steele dossier. Here at home, David Kramer, the former aide to John McCain, spread the dossier around Washington and leaked it, which should come as no surprise since John McCain did not like Donald Trump. The entire Mueller investigation into Russia was based on this report, which has been debunked and proven not true numerous times by numerous agencies. Inspector General Michael Horowitz claimed himself the report was always a joke. After all of this, I do believe that most people understand why this has been referred to as the Russian collusion hoax by so many. Think about what we saw. To understand exactly what happened, think about this. There were some 533,074 web articles and 2,284 minutes of Russian collusion broadcast news coverage dedicated to an event that did not happen. The media built it up like it was a second coming of Jesus Christ. This is what they would have you believe, but guess what? Christ has not come back yet, just like Donald Trump did not conspire or collude with Russia in any way. However, after Mueller did not find any evidence of collusion, the press was somehow shocked. It's obvious that so many in the media got it wrong. Whether you believe they were representing the facts as they saw them or they made up a story, let's look at how some in the media covered themselves in the aftermath of the Russian probe. CNN President Jeff Zucker was entirely comfortable with his network's coverage of the Russian probe. He explained that we are not investigators. We are journalists, and our role is to report the facts as we know them, which is exactly what he did. He's wrong on this. He's wrong on a lot of stuff, in fact, but especially this. Go back to what we talked about earlier. A journalist lives for the story. This is their life, so a journalist does investigate their story. They do not just report something that they hear without having knowledge or evidence of it. This is gossip, and this will get a reporter into serious trouble. Although I am not a journalist, and I'm not, I am reporting to you facts as they are, rather than how I see them. If we continue on with CNN, we see that they did more than just report the facts. CNN pushed the hoax under its own branding by running an analysis piece that speculated that Michael Cohen, President Trump's former lawyer, dropped a collusion bombshell in the Russia investigation. Continuing on with CNN, we find Brian Stelter, who tries to justify what the media has done by explaining that speculation has value. He insinuates that because of other bad actions, adding to the story your own spin is okay. He explains that President Trump has proven time and time again he cannot be trusted, and adds, he is so dishonest that even America's allies don't know what to believe. He is so unpredictable that his aides sometimes don't know what to say or how to respond. That's the crucial context for whatever comes next. Another interesting cat is MSNBC's own Joe Scarborough, who has defended the mainstream media's coverage of the Russian probe, asking, why would Donald Trump lie about Russia? He has insinuated that Trump lied throughout the 2016 campaign about his contacts with Russia, including what would you have had the media do over the past 2 years when Donald Trump lied throughout the 2016 campaign about his contacts with Russia. And let's do not forget his MSNBC colleague, Rachel Maddow, who has pushed many conspiracy theories, including the Russian collusion hoax and the impeachment scandal. It's amazing to me at how any of these members can question Trump's ability to be trusted when each of them spent nearly 3 years pushing the Russian collusion hoax. Night after night, segments were dedicated to spreading the false information about how Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin teamed up together to capture the victory for the president. It also amazes me that people would still listen to a network that continues to push lie after lie in the effort of getting rid of someone they do not like. Partisan politics is one thing, but what we are seeing right now from so many is pure hatred of a man. This is from both the left and the right, as Trump has made enemies of many Republicans. Not necessarily because of what he has said, or just because of what he has said, but because he's breaking up so much of their influence and how they make their money. And this is not the program to discuss their wrongdoings, as it would take an entire program to get through just a few. When you learn about what so many of these people are into, it will literally make you sad. It will make you sick. And it will make you rethink anything you've ever thought about these people. And I'm not talking about just those in the media, but so many of those in power and with real influence. Of course, I'm not suggesting that every individual with power and influence is involved in evil activities, but so many of them are. One thing that President Trump has done in just a few short years is bring much of the world to its knees with the discoveries about what they are into. While discussing these wrongdoings is not a part of the show, just know that these wrongdoings is one reason why the media must control the narrative. If they control the narrative, then they control what you hear and what you know. Let's get back to our original discussion. We have been discussing some stories that the media has botched over the last few years, and there have been many. For most people, if they continue to fail at something over and over, they either change what they're doing, maybe their approach, or they find something they're good at. But it's not like this with many of these media members. They're not dumb. They're very talented at what they do, but again, they are purposely misleading you. They do so because they have so much to hide. Many of these people are involved in things that we were never meant to know about. So they report false stories to keep us away from the real stories, or they keep us in the dark about real stories. They lie about real stories as a way to keep us from asking questions. Different news organizations and agencies have been caught using fake footage as a way to make a situation either appear better or worse. In March of 2020, during the early stages of the coronavirus fiasco, this was the case for CBS when they used footage from an Italian hospital to pass it off for New York City as a way to describe the conditions there. The network aired the Italian footage to represent the New York hospital on March 25th of 2020. Much of the world was already in panic and chaos because of the virus, but many in the media were not then and are not now satisfied with this, and they won't be until it's this way all the way around the country. So staying on the same theme, in October 2019, ABC News used footage from a Kentucky gun show to pass it off as a scene in Syria. During the news broadcast, it was passed off as footage of Turkish soldiers bombing the Kurds in Syria. But when the footage was discovered to be something else, the news network apologized, claiming it was aired by mistake. I understand that mistakes happen. They happen every day, and everyone commits them. But it's getting harder for people to take things like this seriously, especially considering that they seem to happen often. All right, next up is Nicholas Sandman and the Covington High School students. Covington High School is a private Catholic high school located in Park Hills, Kentucky, founded in 1925. There is nothing wrong with the high school in itself, but the name Nicholas Sandman probably rings a bell for many. On January 18th of 2019, the Covington High School visited the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. None of the students had any intentions of being involved in any incident on this day. However, because several of the Covington High School students wore Make America Great Again hats, they were targets. The media tried to sell to the public that the Covington boys were harassing an elderly Indian man by the name of Nathan Phillips. Shortly after, the video went viral. Many media outlets tried to sell the story for all it's worth, but unfortunately for them, the story was not worth very much. Not to them, anyway. As it turned out, Phillips was the one harassing the boys. Nicholas Sandman did nothing out of the way, and when Phillips got into his face and began chanting, the young Sandman stood there calmly with a smile on his face. Many media pundits tried to make Sandman to be in the wrong. Different storytellers tried to say his smile was a smirk and was an example of white supremacy. This story was created from very little, but it's just another example of how the media sells lies to the public. Of course, their agenda was to stir up racial tensions and create more division along the way. While this is always their agenda, it cost them a lot of money this time after settling out of court after Sandman's lawyer filed a lawsuit against different media organizations that falsely smeared his name. It's been reported that Sandman is now CNN's highest paid employee. Our last topic is a very controversial issue because it had to do with race. While race should never be a dividing issue, it is for many people, and who loves division more than the media? It's not just the media, but many of our politicians as well. When people are emotional, they are much easier to divide. When they are emotional, they are much easier to control. You are able to convince people of lies when they are emotional. This is something that we discussed earlier when discussing Joseph Goebbels. The Black Lives Matter movement was born in 2013 after Trayvon Martin was shot and killed by George Zimmerman in Florida. In August of 2014, a young man named Michael Brown was shot by police officer Darren Wilson. This was a tragic story, but the media made things much worse when they tried to spin Darren Wilson as the villain. He was made out to be the one in the wrong simply because he was white. It would not take long for the media to capitalize on people's emotions even further by falsely claiming that Michael Brown had his hands up saying, don't shoot. This is where the hands up, don't shoot comes from. But the incident never happened. What this situation did was cause even more division among the races and even more animosity towards police officers. The trust of the police is split depending on the racial group you ask, which is sad because 99% of the police officers are good, honest citizens, but they have been painted as the bad guys. It doesn't matter which color they are. If they're police, then they're seen as bad. This is a segment that we could do an entire program about because there are far too many false accusations against police officers, but we do not have the time to discuss them here today. However, while this was not the beginning of the racial divide and the division among the police officers, it did illustrate just how far the media was willing to go to create division. What we are seeing today is people reacting to the mob mentality. Many of our politicians are listening to the demands of the minority while ignoring the cries of the majority because they want votes. It's all about November. They are hoping that by listening to the minority, they will get up enough sympathy from all the different minority groups so they can regain back control of the country. The media is a part of this movement, as they are in the Democrat Party's pocket. Candidate Trump said on the campaign trail that the corporate media is the best tool that the Clinton campaign has at their disposal. He knew something was not right then, and he set out to fix it. History has revealed what happens when government panders to the fringe minority, and they better be careful. They have already stirred up a hornet's nest, and if they keep on kicking it, the silent majority is going to sting back, and it's going to be even worse than what it was in 2016. Ecclesiastes 1:18 reads, "For much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." There is a lot of wisdom in this verse, as the more that we know, the more we realize that the less we truly know. In learning, the more that we know, then the more that we truly know about life's sorrows. I'm a man, just like anybody else. I'm not the enemy, and I have my faults, but I wish nobody ill. However, the more that I learn about the way people work, particularly the media, the sadder I am. The more that I look around the world, the less of God that I see. Not because he's not there, but because the less that man searches him out. Rather than looking up for the answers, more and more people are looking inside. If God lives inside, then this is a great place to start. But if you do not have God, if you do not know God, then the answers will be of this world rather than an eternal perspective. Charles Spurgeon, probably my favorite man of cloth, once said that this present age is so flippant that if a man loves his Savior, he is styled a fanatic. And if he hates the powers of evil, he is named a bigot. Personally, I couldn't have said it any better than how Mr. Spurgeon said it. And it reminded me of when Hank Hill asked, "What kind of country is this when I can only hate a man if he's white?" I want to remind everybody that we are in an election year. I know that most of you know this, but the events that we have discussed here are only the tip of the iceberg. Darren Wilson's legacy is still relevant, although the incident happened in 2014. We are seeing the hatred and ignorance that comes from seeing everything through color. When politicians go out to win, logic goes out the window. So if you're afraid, just remember that the good guys win and that God is still on our side. All of this is about November, and as evil as it is, it won't last forever. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today's program. This has been a special The Seat of a Nation with Billy Ray Parrish. Michael Witt, or Boom, is still not feeling well, so please continue to pray for Mike. We at God's Gospel Radio Ministry do our best to bring the best gospel programming your way, but we take pride in warning you about the deceptions in our country as well. The media is one of the biggest sources of deception, which is sad because there is a real need for an honest media, but journalism as we used to know it is dead. This is what I went to college for, so it does sadden me to see it die like it has. While not all journalists are out to deceive, too many are, so please be on guard. Again, I am Billy Ray Parrish for God's Gospel Radio Ministry with a special edition of The Seat of a Nation. I do thank you again for joining us. Please subscribe to our content and follow us. and always be on alert as we are always on the air. So until next time, stay safe and God bless.